Greetings to all of you from sunny Nigeria. My name is Rick Crichton, and the theme that we'll be looking at together in today's sermon is the topic of anxiety, life without enough hope. I'd started planning towards a sermon on this in January before I'd ever heard of coronavirus, because anxiety can be a challenge for all of us from time to time. But COVID-19 has brought its own particular versions of anxiety, worries about health, obviously, but also about money and work and about future plans and what this is going to do to them. Or it might be that the anxiety some of us are facing is nothing to do with coronavirus. It might be something else entirely. What I'd like us to do for a moment, what I'd like you to do is think about the last thing that has made you anxious. Bring it to mind briefly. You know how it feels when you're anxious about something. You feel nervous, restless, tense, on edge, irritable. It's hard to concentrate. Maybe you're not sleeping well, tossing and turning at night. There's that sense of panic. Your heart is beating faster, you're breathing faster, your hands are sweating, you're shaking and trembling. You're feeling weak and tired. It's not a nice feeling, and everybody recognizes the problem. Here's a non-Christian comment on anxiety, a Buddhist comment actually. And the Buddhist approach in this comment, it identifies the problem okay, but it offers the wrong solution. Here's the comment. Our anxiety does not come from thinking about the future, but from wanting to control it. That's quite a good insight. So often we do want to control the future, and when we do that, it's like we're trying to be God instead of trusting him. The gospel answer is to trust God instead of trying to be him. So before we go any further, I want us to start with a brief reminder of the antidote to anxiety. And that antidote is hope. Let me read to you from Psalm 33, verses 16 to 22. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. We are not God. We are not in control. If nothing else, COVID-19 reminds us forcefully of that. If we want life, deliverance, love, security, we need to put our hope in God. We need to put our hope on the one who is in control. But hoping for something is not the same as having it immediately. Let me read Romans 5, verse 24. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Hope, Christian hope, is based on a promise. God's promise. If hope is based on nothing at all, then it is blind hope. That's not what Romans 5 is telling us. A hope that is not seen is not the same as a hope that is blind. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Hebrews mixes its images together there to give us a striking picture. We have a strong hope to anchor us, but it goes behind the curtain. We can't see its final outcome. is talking about the hope we have for a new creation, a day when God puts everything right. We know that day's coming, but we don't see it yet. But we do see Jesus, God, become a man and going to the cross to win that future for us. Hope is the antidote to anxiety. But what happens if we live without enough hope? What if we don't take the antidote? Well, there's actually two opposites to hope. The more extreme one is despair. Despair is what happens if we give up altogether on any good outcome. Ecclesiastes 2 captures that. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What's the point? That's what he's asking. What's the point? Because everything in life seems like it's a chasing after the wind. Death eats away at it all. The only good answer to despair is hope. But it needs to be the right hope, a hope that is stronger than death. Hope in Jesus Christ, the one who has overcome death. Otherwise, without hope, people can just end up giving up on life. An extreme version of that is suicide, a very sharp loss of hope. A softer form is despair that we've been talking about, just giving up, sitting in a corner. So that's one opposite of hope. Despair is one opposite, one thing that can happen when we don't have enough hope. The other opposite, the main one that we're going to look at today, is anxiety. And even when people end up in despair, anxiety usually comes first. We're thinking, maybe things will work out. Maybe what's behind the curtain of the future will be okay. But maybe not. And that's the rub. If we're facing the future on our own, then there's no promise to back hope up, no promise to anchor us. That's not a nice way to live. Spurgeon captured it well. He said, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength." Not nice. So people look for alternatives. The good alternative is hope, the right hope, hope in Jesus Christ. But there are bad alternatives as well. We're going to look at three of those, and the first one is greed. Let me read a couple of verses from Matthew's Gospel. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." If you have hope in God to provide, then you can seek first his kingdom and righteousness. But if you don't have that hope, then you'll always be running after stuff: food, money, clothes, health, safety, protection. If you don't have a reason to hope that the future may be okay, then it seems to make sense to grab everything that you can now. 1 Timothy makes that connection especially strongly with money. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. If you put your hope in money, you'll never have enough. Money can't buy you a vaccine against coronavirus, not this year anyway. And money can't buy you a vaccine against death, not any year. Let me give an example of how that works. Imagine for a moment that you've come across a dog that's been kept hungry for months, not enough to eat. And you feed it so that it's full. But then suppose you show it some more food. What will happen? Chances are that dog will eat until it's sick. It has no confidence, no hope about where the next meal is coming from. So it tries to eat everything now, far more than makes sense. Anxiety leads to greed. Let me ask you, are you ever like that dog, so that anxiety leads you to greed? It might be physical things, food, money, clothes, the latest phone or something else. You grab it now because you don't have enough hope in God's provision for the future. Or maybe it's less tangible things, security, popularity, success, approval. You grab it now far more than makes sense because you don't have enough hope in God's provision for the future. So, anxiety can lead to greed. Anxiety can also lead to impatience. Let me read from Romans chapter 5. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. If we have hope, we can wait patiently, because we know that the thing we're waiting for is coming. If we don't have that hope, it's much more difficult to be patient. Here's an example from Nigeria to do with ATMs. In my part of Nigeria, there are a few of the bigger shops where you can use debit cards, but most shops are still cash only. So people need to get cash out of the ATMs, and everybody needs to do that, and they need to get plenty. Normally, that's fine. But sometimes the queues get very big. Here's a picture from a couple of days ago of the queue outside my local bank. Imagine someone who's in this queue. By the time he gets near the front, the ATM is empty and it won't get restocked till the next day. Suppose he goes to another bank, joins another huge queue, and then the same thing happens. The money runs out before he gets to the front. Then suppose he joins a third queue. How is he going to be feeling? the chances are that he will not be waiting patiently. Chances are he'll be hopping about very impatiently because he doesn't have hope that he'll get to the ATM. No hope, no patience. And then briefly, a third bad alternative to hope, namely denial. I'm calling this one the don't worry, be happy approach to life. That might work for a while with some things, especially smaller things. Just ignore them, stick your head in the sand and forget about it. But it's a flimsy approach because it's not based on anything solid. It won't stand up in the face of the big problems in life. There is a better answer. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. Let me read from Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There is a don't worry in this verse, but it's not baseless. There's someone you're looking to. You could almost sum the verse up in the phrase, don't worry, be thankful. Because it's hard to do both at once. It's hard to be thankful and worried at the same time. One will drive the other out. So let thankfulness drive out worry. There's also a don't worry, be prayerful in the verse. Your hope is in someone who works all things for the good. So trust him and pray to him. Prayer will also help drive out worry and anxiety. Let me also read from Psalm 25. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. Show me your ways, Lord. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. The psalm is calling us to put our trust in the Lord of mercy, because our sins have been dealt with and our future is secure. Shame will never be our destination. Now, the psalm is not promising that there'll be no troubles along the way. There may be. There may even be shame along the way, but that will not be the final destination. So, to recap, what are your options for dealing with an uncertain future? There are four bad ones. If you go for despair, you're like Ecclesiastes. You're asking, what's the point? It's all just chasing after the wind. If you go for greed, you're like the hungry dog. You try to grab everything all at once. If you go for impatience, you're like the man in his third ATM queue, hopping about uncomfortably. If you go for denial, you're being Mr. Don't Worry, Be Happy, trying to avoid it all. None of those options are good. Don't go for them. Maybe you can see that you're tempted by one of them more than the others. Whichever it is, don't give in to it. Instead, put your hope in the Lord. Put your trust in Jesus. Thank him for what he's already done for you. And bring your concerns to him in prayer. Hope in him for the future. Be people of hope. In the midst of doubts and uncertainties, in the midst of pandemics and downturns, be people of hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that in this world there are so many things that could make us anxious. We can be tempted by despair, or greed, or impatience, or denial. Help us to say no to those things. Help us to put our trust in you. In you, and in your word, and in your Son. Help us to be thankful for the blessings we already have in you. Teach us to bring our concerns to you in prayer. Father, may we be people of hope this day, this week, and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen.